Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hey, Brad, do you remember when we said that Captain EO wouldn't be coming back to Epcot?
You mean when I, like, said time and time again, oh, yeah, that's gone. That's totally gone. There's no way that's coming back.
Yeah, that time.
Yeah. I vaguely remember something like that.
Yeah, it's back at Epcot.
Yeah, I know. So basically for anyone who thought that, you know, we were secretly getting information from Disney on the side, clearly that is not the case. Because, yeah, it is back. And everything seems to indicate that it's back, like, with air quotes around this, for good this time.
Right, until something else better comes along that they can replace it with. But yeah, it does seem that since EO was removed, replaced, and then put back, that they do actually mean to keep it there.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, but can anybody really fault me for thinking this thing was gone? I mean, it got preempted by Tomorrowland and then got preempted by Inside. I mean, this theater was quickly turning into a, hey, check out what's coming up next from Disney this month.
Yeah, I agreed, man. I thought it was going away too, because I believe they even changed the name.
Didn't of the they? Theater or something?
Yeah.
I don't remember, so I'm not going to. Clearly,
oh,
I'm
you know
no
what?
Longer committing to anything.
You know what? They changed it from the Magic Eye Theater in Disneyland to the Tomorrowland Theater, I think was the name change, not Epcot.
Now,
but still.
I haven't seen an announcement about it coming back to Epcot, or back to Disneyland. I only saw Epcot. Did you see anything about Disneyland?
No. The last thing I saw, Disneyland just had a sign that said Tomorrowland Theater is undergoing refurbishments or something and to come back later.
So maybe
so it's
or maybe not it's coming back there. Did the Tomorrowland Theater have the full 4D setup?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so what are they refurbing then?
I don't know. Maybe they're just going back in and it takes some time. I don't have any idea. It just and this information is all coming from Reddit.
Well, no. Now, I've seen, like, Fortune magazine covering this.
Oh, okay.
So,
all of my information is coming from Reddit. All the Disneyland stuff is just from people who
have posted
pictures from Reddit or from Disneyland onto Reddit. And it looks closed. Like, all the windows are opaque. And I believe the sign said, and this is just from memory, like, the Tomorrowland Theater is undergoing some changes. Please go and like try out some of the other things in Tomorrowland. It was a weird sign in that it literally said to go elsewhere.
Yeah. So who the heck knows what's going on at Disneyland? But yes, it is apparently back at Epcot, which is weird to me because, I mean, so we have to assume that EO was pulling bigger crowds than Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, right?
Yeah. I think so. I think because
it's been gone for long enough.
It's been gone, and it's more of a show. You know, as much as I don't understand why it's there, and you can go back and listen to whatever episode that was, and we talked for, you know, at length about all this. But I think it's still fun. It's part of that whole like Tomorrowland feel, and I know at Disney World it's in Epcot, but it's that Tomorrowland feel where it looks and always feels futuristic and whimsical.
Retro-futuristic.
You know, right. It felt futuristic in the 80s, and it feels futuristic in 2015. It differently, you know, it's like watching the Jetsons, you know, where they still have a phone switchboard, but it's just a robot that runs the phone switchboard.
Right. So
it's yeah, retro futuristic, like you said, but it still feels fun in a way that Honey, I Shrunk the Audience didn't. That was more like campy. And I think today a kid is way more likely to know who Michael Jackson is than they are to know who Rick Moranis is and the Honey, I Shrunk X franchise.
Well, and if you don't know the Honey, I Shrunk X franchise, that's a really, I can see how that could be a really weird film. Whereas I could see if you didn't know who Michael Jackson was, that would still be a cool thing to go and see.
And yeah, and an intro to Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that is, yes, yeah, so that has returned. And, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, little bit of a side trip here. Apparently, I should have believed that it was going to come back because there was a tweet out from the VP of production for Disney Infinity, which is Disney's, like, hugely popular gaming thing for console games, that he wanted, his personal passion project is to get Captain EO as part of the Disney Infinity project. So, you know, I just don't think they would be announcing stuff like that if it was going, because I honestly think without Captain EO at Epcot, that's not going to ever get pushed through. But as long as it's still active, now that makes a lot more sense. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So Captain EO is back, but how about tonight we talk about things that aren't back?
So tonight we're going to play a game in which I'm going to list off three attractions that are no longer at Walt Disney World. And you must choose to revive one, which is to bring it back in its original form, to remake one, which is to bring it back but differently, and then to leave one, which would be to leave one dead. And so the three attractions tonight will be Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Snow White's Scary Adventures, and Extraterrestrial Alien Encounter.
Okay, so,
and keep in mind, everyone, that we are talking about Walt Disney World, because we do know that two out of these three are still operating at Disneyland.
Right, and one of them was never at Disneyland, so.
True.
Clearly, this is Walt Disney World, because that's what we care. No, we care about Disneyland too, folks. But
I think it's safe to say that Walt Disney World is our preferred park, though.
Yes, yes, it is. It is, just like for many people, Disneyland is their preferred park, and that's okay too. So, yeah. So when you first brought this up, this was interesting to me because the first thing I had to do was like reintroduce myself to those attractions because I think so Mr. Toad's Wild Ride closed down in 98. Yes, 98. So that attraction I've only ever done at Disneyland, where it is still going on. Now, I did Extraterrestrial at Walt Disney World, and I've done Snow White's Scary Adventure at Disney World. But I actually had to go, you know, to YouTube, and we'll put links in the show notes, but to go to YouTube and find ride-throughs of these attractions again to even remind myself what we were, you know, what we were talking about before I made my decision. So my thought is we first need to, we just need to list, you know, I'll list mine, you list yours, and then we can discuss reasons so that we don't convince the other person to go the other way. What do you think?
Okay. That sounds good.
So what are yours?
I would revive Alien Encounter. I would remake Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And I would leave Snow White.
Okay, so this is surprisingly close because I would revive Mr. Toad. I would remake the Extraterrestrial. And I would leave Snow White's Scary Adventure.
So let's, I guess, start with Snow White since we both...
since we both killed this off, for what reasons did you kill it off?
Because it's relatively unremarkable as a dark ride. I think it's a pretty standard fare Fantasyland dark ride. And I think that since it was replaced by New Fantasyland and more specifically by Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, that Disney World is better off.
See, I didn't really think the whole better off thing, but my thought was just there's already a Snow White attraction at Walt Disney World now. So why do we need two Snow White attractions? And again, it kind of comes back to, you know, I think we were talking about this when we talked about the Inside Out attraction, you know, especially within Magic Kingdom, whether or not Disney chooses to believe this, I choose to believe that there are very rigid rules to where something can fit, and the Snow White attraction doesn't fit anywhere except for Fantasyland.
True.
And so inevitably there's going to be a dark ride and a dark ride roller coaster, both dealing with the same film, ridiculously close to one another.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, next door.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, that's where I came at it from, was it already has one. You know, I will agree with you that it was pretty standard dark ride fare, but here's the thing. If it would have been a different attraction, one that there wasn't already a coverage for in a film from Disney, I don't know. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride might have been the one to get the leave from me.
Hmm.
Because it was kind of between those two. And then I went, you know what? It's got to be Snow White because it's already there.
Hmm.
So now, like I said, I just had Mr. Toad to revive, but you had it for remake?
Yeah. Based solely on the ending, just where the ride ends in hell.
That's spoiler alert, man. You have to spoiler alert that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, spoiler alert. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride ends in hell. I think that's a little heavy for Fantasyland.
I like that. A little heavy for Fantasyland.
Yeah, it's just a little heavy for Fantasyland. I would maybe just remove the hell part, because I think the number of people today who have seen that movie, and who would say, hey, the movie ends in hell, why doesn't the ride end in hell, are so low that I think you could have an attraction that didn't quite follow the plot of that movie and still be fun and still have people have fun on it.
Yeah.
So that's the remake, because I feel like that's the only reason that it wasn't really a good or a great fit in.
But it's
in
still,
these,
but
these
it's
modern
still in
times.
Disneyland. It's still in Disneyland.
And I think the reason that it fits better at Disneyland is that Walt Disney World is such a tourist attraction, and you've got people from all over and a lot more families, and Disneyland has more of the local feel and you have a lot more local people, and I think it works there because most of the people that go to Disneyland live around Disneyland and they kind of just understand that attraction, whereas you've got people coming from Spain and Europe and, you know, everywhere coming to Florida. And I think culturally Walt Disney World has to be a bit more conservative when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think it fits better in Anaheim just because people aren't going to be shocked by something, especially something that's been there for so long, because they've been going there for that long.
Yeah, because it's been there since 55.
Yeah,
yeah. So, so it's had a few years for people to get used to it. So now here's the thing. I will agree with your remake. I didn't really. I mean, again, watch the ride video. I really don't think the hell thing was that intense. But you know, as most dark rides would seem like that. And I would have given it the remake. And I think if you were going to remake that attraction, you know, get some more interactive audio animatronics in there, because it was pretty much just a, you know, here we go, we're going to go through this, just like all the old dark rides, where you go through this room, you know, things pop up, thing pops up here, whatever. I think that there are definitely some better audio animatronics available. Plus, I think that ride would be, could benefit greatly because of, again, the movie and just the, you know, it being a wild ride from, you know, maybe like the ride system from like Winnie the Pooh, where the Tigger, you know, the no track ride system or something, where it's slightly randomized or whatever. I think some of those things could have really helped it. But again, I didn't have it for a remake because I had to save my remake for the extraterrestrial.
And I picked that as for my revive because I think that with a little more education in the queue and in the outside area, you know, where you would line up before you even enter the building, with a little more education, I think that would really be a cool addition or re-addition to Tomorrowland, because I will bet you that there are so few people who re-ride Stitch's Great Escape that thing is on its last legs.
You don't want to get another whiff of that chili dog breath.
I really want to know, and I don't think Disney has any way to tell anybody this, but how many people are people who have ridden that before? And how many people are first timers? Because I'm never going to ride that again. I'm never going to go through that again. That was such a waste of time. And I want to know, I really think I want to know if there are any people who rode Stitch's Great Escape, who experienced that and went, that was worth it. That was a good time.
And
that
you know
was
what?
Fun.
I'm gonna do it again.
Yeah.
And again and again and again.
Yeah.
Somebody just unsubscribed from our podcast because you just totally slammed their favorite attraction. Meanwhile, I didn't slate it for a revive, but I almost did just because I said, hey, if it revived, it would have to take the place of Stitch's Great Escape, and boom, that's knocked out of there.
But it's so unique, you know, like I don't want to change anything about it because it's not a dark ride. It's not a roller coaster. There's nothing like it. And yeah, it was freaky, but you know, so is Tower of Terror. Tower of Terror is creepy. The Haunted Mansion has a storyline about like suicide. You know, there's plenty of creepy stuff, and granted, Alien Encounter was way more upfront about it and way less subtle.
Yeah,
it was more just terrifying. So I get that, but I think there's nothing like it. And I think for the over 16 crowd, it would be great and it would do well.
Right. And so that is why I picked it for my remake instead of my revive, because I don't know that it belongs in Tomorrowland. I don't know that it belongs in Magic Kingdom.
Hollywood Adventure?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why, and because I feel like if, you know, if we're being honest, Revive, maybe not does not take the place of the attraction that's there now. But at least it should end up in the same area. And I don't, like I said, I don't know that Alien Adventure in the incarnation that it was really belonged in Tomorrowland, because I kind of like the idea of Magic Kingdom being much more accessible to all ages, you know?
That attraction had zero whimsy.
Right. It had zero whimsy, and it definitely wasn't something that, you know, you wanted to take your, you know, I don't know, 7-year-old, 8-year-old on, because right. Then they were going, you know, then you were going to have to deal with the, probably for the rest of the week, them having nightmares. I don't know. maybe kids are more desensitized now, but that was pretty freaky to me. When I wrote it in, I don't know, probably like 2001, and I was significantly old enough that I should have been able to handle it no problem. But and that's one thing I will say is, you know, you're going to watch the ride video and you're going to be like, what's the big deal? But here's the thing. The ride video, somebody has night vision turned on, number one. So the audio animatronic looks ridiculous in there with night vision turned on. You're like, oh, my gosh, how did that scare anybody? But when it's dark and there's just lights flashing and you're just catching glimpses of this thing, and you have those two speakers right next to your ears and it's jumping from deal to deal and you feel the wings flapping above you, all of the things that you don't get when you just watch the video are what made it so intense at the time.
But, and it's breathing and drooling,
yes,
on
drooling
you.
Drooling on you, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, these are the things that just aren't going to translate in video. But I feel like, again, you know, you could make that animatronic a lot better. You know, you could add some, I don't know, add some more effects, things like that. And again, replant that thing in Hollywood Adventure. And I think here's the biggest part of the remake for me. Tie it to Alien, tie it to something, you know, give it something. And this is the thing, I can't think of a Disney property to tie it to. But I know a property's out there to tie it to, and Disney's not afraid to buy the rights to a property to tie it to, as you know, we've seen with Pandora and Tower of Terror.
Yep.
They'll buy the rights to something if they need it. I think that would help it as well to have something else to tie it to, so that people can attach that experience to something. And if you buy the right thing, like I said, if you buy an Alien or something, I feel like people are going to have a lot better grasp of what they're about to step into as well.
Right. Man, I just thought when you said that, I had never thought about the fact that Twilight Zone Tower of Terror Disney had to like license the rights to Twilight Zone for that. Can you imagine that attraction without the Twilight Zone tie-in?
Oh, no, no. It wouldn't be...
It would be... It would just be an elevator.
Yes.
If you didn't have the Rod Serling intro and the... Oh, man. That's really blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. So you see how much the right tie-in can make. And that's the thing is that Alien, or extraterrestrial alien encounter, was originally going to be Alien. But, you know, they scrubbed that idea for numerous reasons. And again, I think, you know, that was probably the right decision given that it was in Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom. But you put that sucker in Hollywood Adventure, and I just feel like Hollywood Adventure is a different park, you know?
If I can, there's an article that explains, like, in great detail, Michael Eisner's thought process in creating extraterrestrial alien encounter, which is an awful name. But if I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes. It's really long, but it's a good read, because you can see, you know, one, that Michael Eisner was kind of in over his head a little bit. What he wanted versus what WDI wanted and stuff. And it's just a really interesting read to kind of give you a glimpse at an attraction that ultimately was a failure, which doesn't happen very often. And I feel like because that doesn't happen too often, you even more rarely get to see why it didn't work.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who wrote the article, but it was someone who interviewed, I think, former Imagineers who worked on that. And it's a really good kind of actual inside look at that attraction from conception to ultimate failure. So if I can find that article, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a really good read.
In the show notes, because I don't think I've seen that article. Like I said, you know, I've seen enough of the scuttlebutt about, you know, how it was going to be Alien and how that was. I don't know. It blows my mind that they went, oh, that's too scary for kids, but we'll put the rest of this attraction in there. That's not going to be too scary for kids at all. It'll totally be pointed towards kids at this point.
The scary alien breathing on them and jumping around on them and really wanting to kill them. You know, like, that's kind of the underlying message.
Be slightly afraid for your life, because this alien is a, you know what, like, at some point they say, oh, yeah, scan it. Oh, yeah, it's carnivorous. Oh, it eats meat. Those guys are in danger.
Right. Like, the underlying message of that attraction is this thing's going to kill you. And the fact that tying it to an existing movie franchise was the thing that was too much.
Yes, that's the bridge too far. Guys. Yeah. Alien is not a family-friendly movie. We cannot have a non-family-friendly movie in Tomorrowland. We can have an alien that's going to eat people in Tomorrowland. And, you know, I recognize that to some extent they still try to give you that, you know, the whole Stitch is still evil at this point. But no kid is afraid of Stitch. These kids have seen the movie. And even if they haven't, I mean, it in no way evokes the fear that extraterrestrial, that just rolls off the tongue.
And terror is all caps, by the way.
Right. Extra terror-restrial.
Yeah.
So, like I said, but that's my reason for the remake, though, is, you know, again, less about, you know, make a better audio animatronic because you've got the technology now, and maybe there's some cool new bells and whistles you can tie in there, but primarily it's get a movie franchise, preferably the one you were going to get in the first place, which will also tell you what kind of audio animatronic to make, and then put it in Hollywood Adventure. Don't put it back in, but don't put it back in Magic Kingdom. Don't put it back in Tomorrowland. And I don't think you have that problem anymore.
Yeah.
I think you've got a blockbuster attraction.
Even if you just revived it, but didn't put it back in the Magic Kingdom, I think it's fine. You know, without tying it back into an existing franchise or doing any kind of updates at all. Because I've seen ride-through videos without the night vision turned on. And, you know, it's hard for a camera to keep up with a strobe light the way that your eyes do. But to only see glimpses of this thing, you can clearly tell that it's moving. And that's enough, you know, for you to be like, oh, you know, oh, crap, this thing is alive. I think you're right. I think taking it out of Magic Kingdom and putting it into Hollywood Adventure, which we seem to be bought in that that's what they're going to call it. But
We're told
that park.
By the way, the whole Captain EO thing tells me that maybe we shouldn't be doing this. Hollywood TBD. That's what we're going to call this part. Hollywood yeah. TBD.
But yeah, I think you're right. I can see your reasoning, and I think that a remake of Alien Encounter could be more interesting and fun than a remake of Mr. Toad would. But since I never got even the chance to do Alien Encounter, I think personally I'd kind of like to see it in its purest form, because I want that really visceral, like, I don't like that scared moment, I guess, at Disney, because it's so unusual. And I think because it's at Disney, even if it was in Tomorrowland, I could, you know, you come out and you're freaked out, and then you just, you know, you just go on the people mover or
right,
something.
Right. To try to recover from that.
Right. So, yeah, man, this was fun.
Yeah, I think we need to do this again. We need to find some other attractions to do that. I like trying to think through these things and going, okay, which one? But maybe next time we need to pick three that aren't going to give us one that's so easy to go, that one's going to get left in the pile.
Yeah.
Which by the way, for those of you who do enjoy Snow White Scary Adventure, again, it has nothing to do with the quality of the attraction for me. It only has to do with there's already another one there. And I think to some extent, like you said, it is a bit more of a generic dark ride. But again, New Fantasyland brought us what we both feel is probably a better dark ride attraction there. And so we're kind of okay with it being gone.
I think you get, I mean, Snow White's, it's not necessarily Snow White's Scary Adventures anymore. But the novelty and the beautiful thing about the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is that it is a dark ride.
Right. You get a dark ride in the middle. But again, I can also understand, like, if you're nostalgic about that attraction, it's not the same attraction. So
sure. And anyone who's listened to more than two or three episodes of this show knows that sometimes logic is thrown out the window in the name of nostalgia. So
that's right. And we're totally against that. All about the bottom line, folks. All about the bottom line on Missing the Mouse.
So, yeah, we definitely need to make this a regular thing. This was fun.
Yeah, it'll be a thing when Disney doesn't have enough real news to talk about, you know?
So we hope you liked it as well. Give us some feedback on Twitter. We are at MTM Podcast, or on Facebook, where we are Missing the Mouse. Leave us some feedback there. If you liked it, let us know. If you didn't, let us know. If you have suggestions for attractions for us to play this game again next time, if you can just think of three attractions that are not at the parks anymore, or, you know,
or three attractions that are and you have to get rid of one.
Yeah, I think we could definitely play it with three attractions that are still there. Let us know. Send us those suggestions. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Leave. Always leave the Frozen ride. Sorry. I know. I just totally killed you, but always leave the Frozen ride. So on that note, we're going to let you guys go. Have a magical day, and we'll be back with a new episode next week.